Well, last time we looked at Ecclesiastes 10 and the latter part of chapter 10 and the first eight verses of chapter 11, titled, Here's What I've Learned. Solomon specifically gave us some lessons on leadership. We looked at the characteristics of a foolish leader, immature, undisciplined, lazy, you know, character issues, as opposed to the wise leader who is mature and disciplined and industrious and has the good character, you know, the kind of character that is necessary. And we talked about our need to copy or emulate the characteristics of a wise leader and even to have respect for the position of leadership. And then Solomon dealt with some lessons on labor, our need to, as stewards, our need to invest, diversify, to not seek excuses, to be diligent, to be industrious. And then in the last two verses that we looked at last week in chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, the lessons on appreciating the good in life and learning from the bad in life and realizing that bad days will happen and death will eventually occur. And so that brings us to our lesson today, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. So if you have your Bibles open to Ecclesiastes 11, 9, after verses 7 and 8, where Solomon says, you know, there will be bad days. That's, you can't have the perfect, try to find the perfect life. You know, people want this perfect little picture, perfect package of a life and everything to be the way they want it. And we kind of, you know, talked about that a little bit. And he says, yet a man live many years, rejoice them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, all that cometh is vanity. Then in verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Now I know we looked at this a couple of weeks ago when our young people were in here, but we'll briefly look at it again. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. They go by so fast, it's like a vapor. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of the grinding's low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Well, as Solomon comes to the end, as he begins to end the writing of Ecclesiastes, he focuses upon really what we would expect to be the most obvious elements in concluding this book. And that is the value of youth, old age, death. That's what we're going to talk about today, and then Lord willing next week, and then the true purpose for our existence. I mean, this is what we would expect as we come to the end of the book. He's going to discuss these things. So today I want us to consider the value of youth and the fact that we cannot avoid the inevitable reality of old age and death. But I want to add, by way of introduction here before we get into this, keep in mind, Solomon, as an Old Testament saint, as an Old Testament one who believed in the one true God, he had no concept of what we call the rapture of the saints, the catching up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He didn't even have a concept of the second coming as we know it. He didn't have the New Testament and all the information about what to expect and what's going to happen. And, you know, I mean, he didn't even have the book of Daniel yet, all right? This is before all of that. And so we have to keep in mind what Solomon understood. The first coming hadn't even happened yet, okay? So, I mean, he's not thinking in the realm that we do today. Well, there was the first coming into Christ, and then at any time there's going to be the rapture of the believers, and then there's going to be the second coming after a period of tribulation. He doesn't get all that. To Solomon, old age and death was inevitable. Think about it. To us today, okay, old age and death are extremely likely. Okay, the odds are there. Really, if we look at the past, you know, the odds are there. Old age and death are extremely likely, but they're not guaranteed. It's very possible that one of two things can happen. Number one, God could call any of us home before we reach the state of elderliness, oldness. Or number two, Christ could come and return for us, and we wouldn't even have to see death. I mean, that was Paul's, you know, blessed hope when he was penning the New Testament scriptures and revealing the mystery not revealed in the Old Testament about this. But we have to understand old age and death are extremely likely, but they're not guaranteed. We have to live our lives every day ready for Christ to return at any moment, but prepared in case he doesn't. Okay? I mean, that's just something we have. It's part of living life as a Christian in this day and age. Well, we always need to be ready for Christ. The Apostle John talks about this, you know, our hearts being prepared and abiding in him so we won't be ashamed before him at his coming. And we want to be ready. We want to have fellowship and be in a proper fellowship with Jesus Christ as those who know him. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we just, you know, I know this is cliche, but, you know, climb to the top of a mountain and say, okay, Lord, come, and I'm just going to sit here and wait for you and be no good down here. I mean, in the meantime, because, you know, the odds are he hasn't come for 2,000 years, and so he may not come tomorrow or next week or next year. We need to be not just ready, but we, as far as for Christ, should he come at any time, but should he not come, we need to be living out who he wants us to be in the here and now on this earth. I mean, and so this is what Solomon's going to be discussing here. Number one, he talks about our need to, number one, enjoy the vitality of youth properly. And we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but in chapter 11, verse 9, down through the first verse of chapter 12, enjoy being young. You know, and we're gonna see why here really in a minute, but we're not there yet. Enjoy being young. Rejoice, O young man, verse 9, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth and walk in the ways of thine heart. I mean, that is a wonderful thing because, like I said before, when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the problem is that when you're young, you don't appreciate it. And you're always wanting to get older, you know. And then we're going to see when you're older, you're like, oh man, I long for those days when I was able to do the things I can't do anymore, you know, because I'm falling apart. But Solomon is advising young people to enjoy youth. Enjoy being young, all right? I mean, it's very important that we do this, but he says in the latter part of verse 9, but realize your choices now bring lifelong or even eternal consequences. Realize that fact. Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So we want to realize that our choices now, I mean, young people, old people, we all make choices. But in talking to the young people, enjoy it. But realize there are consequences to the choices that you make. Therefore, verse 10, make the right choices. See that in verse 10? Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from my flesh. Childhood and youth, they're vanity, they're fleeting. Make the right choices as a young person. Don't wait until you're older to straighten up. Well, when I get older, then I'll do things right, you know. No, don't. I mean, Solomon, if anybody can give us this insight and this information, as a young person, you know, Solomon got, I'm sure he got free reign pretty much to do whatever he wanted. And he's telling young people, I've done it all. And enjoy being young, because I think he's really decrepit as he's writing this. And we'll see this in a minute. He says, enjoy being young, but make sure you make the right choices because there are consequences to the choices you make. And his final counsel to young people we find in verse 1 of chapter 12, always remember the Lord. And we talked about this several weeks ago. To remember doesn't just mean like, well, keep God in mind. It goes beyond this. It means live your life with what you know about God always before you, clearly in view. We can put it this way, in the presence of God, and understand he's always there. He sees everything. He knows everything. So remember so that you're, remember the Lord, so your choices and your behavior reflect your understanding of God and what he has declared to us in his word. Really, that's so important. I remember as a young person, you know, being taught this verse, and it's always stuck with me. It's a good verse to memorize for young people. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. But what we have to do is allow young people to understand this doesn't mean just, you know, think about God. It means fear him, as we're going to see next week, Lord willing. But I mean, know him in the context. Understand as a young person that what you choose to do or not do has consequences, and God knows. Okay, understand that. That's what it really means to remember now the creator in the days of thy youth. And that very word creator is very intentional. It carries with it the idea of accountability. The one who made you knows you and what is best for you better than you know yourself. And, you know, I've said this before. Sometimes I don't even know what's best for me or anyone, but God knows. God knows me better than I know myself. I can deceive myself. I can deceive other people, but we can't deceive God. So he's our creator. He must be our focus. Young people, he must be your focus. Every decision you make revolves around doing what the Lord would have you to do, doing what is right. And this means he must be our priority, even as a young person. Every decision we make revolves around putting the Lord first. The Lord knows me better than I know myself. What would be the right thing to do here? What would he have me to do in this situation? I mean, my friends are saying, hey, come do this, you know. And maybe it's fine, but I mean, let's stop and think about it and make the right choice. Is this something that the Lord would have me to do? Is it going to glorify him and be good for me and other people? Or is it not? These are just things I know. I mean, for thousands of years, young people need to understand this and they don't, you know, because we've all been there. But we have to continue to teach this to them. So anyway, that's the first thing. Enjoy the vitality of youth properly. Number two. Okay, this is one of the most depressing. I'm gonna be honest. I told my wife yesterday when I was studying, I'm like, this is the most depressing text of scripture that I can think of, really, is the more that I read this. And yet it's reality. Number two, realize what is coming down the road. And that's what we have in verses 1 through 6, one of the most incredibly poetic sections of the book of Ecclesiastes. The context of these verses clearly reveal that Solomon is using poetic language to describe a concrete reality. Now, we take the Bible literally. Taking the Bible literally, does that mean every single thing in the Bible is literal? No, it means you take it as it is designed, as it is written, how it is written grammatically, historically. And here Solomon uses poetry, figurative language, to describe a concrete reality. And we see that through the context here. Solomon is describing in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, old age. Now remember back in chapter 11, verses 7 and 8, he advises his readers to enjoy the good days, but remember the bad days will be many, all right? Now he describes what can be some of the bad or dark days of old age. Actually, I'm thankful there are some people that are away today. All right, I've thought about that. I'm like, okay. No, I'm never thankful when people are away, but you know, you guys know, Don would just love this, all right? So I'll be able to get through this without too many comments, I think, today. All right. From a human perspective, humans find far less pleasure in old age than in the vitality of youth. See the latter part of verse 1 there? Remember the creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, you see that, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, this is generally what old people have to say, I have no pleasure in these days, I wish I was young again. I mean, humanly speaking, we're not talking here about how we should be as Christians in old age and, you know, be good people and, you know, trust the Lord to get through these things. But from a human perspective, we find far less pleasure in old age than in youth. No pleasure in them. That phrase is so important. Often in youth, we look forward to getting up in the morning while in old age, you don't. I mean, this is what I hear, all right? You don't. I hear you just, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I can't get out of bed. When you're a young person, you can get up. You're like, you wake up and you're awake. It's like, I don't even remember what that was like. But I know when I was a kid, it's like you get up and it's like you're up. And you look forward to it and like, all right, what's going to happen today and all these things. But you don't. Keep in mind, Solomon is simply stating general truth regarding the aging process. And he goes on to explain why this is so. Realize what's coming down the road. Letter A, old age will come quickly. Old age will come quickly. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, this is the youth, nor the clouds return after the rain. Notice this, youth is fleeting. That's what verse 1 says. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shall say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Solomon is explaining here in these two verses that youth is fleeting, and what replaces it is old age, which comes as quickly as a gathering storm. Quickly. It moves quickly. It comes quickly. Moses recognized that fact. Go over to Psalm 90. We looked at this many times, but Psalm 90, notice Moses, as in his own older age, describing how fast life is, how quickly it seems that we get old. Look at Psalm 90 in verse 4. He says, talking to the Lord, writing this, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And a watch in the night. I mean, a watch in the night, just a couple hours to God, 1,000 years is like nothing. This, thou carriest them away, these years, as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they're like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it's cut down and withereth. We're consumed by thine anger, and Moses goes and says these things, and he says in verse 9, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our year as a tale that is told. From what I understand in the Hebrew here, this is just like, it's like a sigh. It's just a sigh. It's that fast. That's how fast our years are. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, they're strengthened. And he talks about the sorrow that comes in old age. Old age will come quickly. And Moses compares old age. He compares the brevity of man's life here in Psalm 90 to in verse 4 of Psalm 90, just a couple of hours. It's just a few hours. In verse 5, the quick destruction of floodwaters. That's how fast our life and time is. In verse 5, sleep. In verse 5 and 6, grass. Verse 9, just a thought or a sigh. In the New Testament, remember James? He compares the life of man to a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Which really is kind of the root behind this phrase, vanity or futility, in Ecclesiastes. The idea is it's just vapor. It's there and it's gone. Realize what's coming down the road. Old age, number one, will come quickly. So Solomon is telling young people, remember now God in your youth, because it's going to go fast. And before you know it, like a gathering storm, you're already going to feel old. I didn't even say be old. I think you're going to start feeling old. So the next thing that will happen, and this is where it gets dark, beginning in verse 3, the physical body will deteriorate. The physical body will deteriorate. Verses 3 and 4 describe this. Solomon uses the poetic analogy of an old house to describe the aged body. And this is so interesting. Number 1, look at, keepers of the house shall tremble. Arms and hands are shaky and unstable. As you get older, you'll find, from what they tell me, your arms, your hands are not quite as stable as they used to be. We get such wonderful letters sometimes from people that write into the FEA and, you know, comment on this or that. And they say, oh, excuse my writing, you know, I'm 90 years old or I'm 80 and I have arthritis and I shake. And it's a reminder of old age. When the keepers of the house shall tremble. In old age. This is what Solomon says. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. These are the days that we have no pleasure in them. See, verse 2, verse 1. Number two, strong men shall bow themselves. See that in verse three. The knees and the legs and the back become crooked and sore. Crooked and sore, bent over. Your knees are buckling, your back is bent, it's crooked, your legs don't have the strength that they once had. See that? Keepers of the house shall tremble, strong men shall bow themselves. Notice this next one. Grinders cease because they are few. What do you think that is? Teeth, the teeth. I mean, teeth can't chew food as they used to because there aren't as many of them, or if there are, they're a lot less strong. They're a lot weaker than they used to be. Teeth, man, nobody likes to go to the dentist, but, you know, this is why you want to do that if you can. So when you get older, your grinders won't be few. Grinders cease because they are few. Teeth can't food chewed as they used to. Notice this next one. Those that look out of the windows be darkened. Our eyes have become dim or have lost sight. I was at the optometrist a while back, and he's checking my, you know, I'm nearsighted, so I can see things up close. I just can't see things far away. And so he's checking my, you know, near up close, like reading. And he's, you know, okay, well, that's great. So far, you don't have any problem with that. You're not losing. But he said, everybody does. It's automatic. He says, you can have great eyesight and you can even be nearsighted, but over time, he goes, as your body ages, it doesn't matter. You're going to not be able to read up close, which is why, you know, people have reading glasses and all of those things. It's for that very purpose. And he said, it's just going to happen. It just hasn't, you know, he said, usually by this time in your life, the age you are, it starts happening. Well, probably 2 months after I went to the dentist, I started realizing, whoa, okay, something is kind of off here. I can't read when I don't have my contacts in. I can't, and even with my contacts in, sometimes I'm finding myself doing, I mean, I always remember my dad always doing this. He's always like, you know, like, okay, like this. And I'm like, okay, what? Come, I mean, I'm glad that's not me. And then now it's like, okay, I get it. But Solomon is describing here the reality of, you know, our eyes looking out of the windows, those that look out of the windows be darkened. They have become dim or have lost sight. I mean, it's just, it's a part of aging. Remember, look at the next thing here. Doors shall be shut in the streets. There's two things this could mean. Some have said or proposed maybe that the jaws stay closed and the lips stay quiet. You know, talking is at a minimum. There are some older people that can really, really talk, and they keep going, all right? Generally speaking, the older you get, you know, you're just a little more reserved, and you're not so talkative. Others say it could be a reference to the ears that cannot hear so well anymore. But either way, the doors shall be shut in the streets. Notice the next phrase. The sound of the grinding is low. Eating soft foods means little chewing is possible. You know, you have to have things that aren't too hard. You can't enjoy a New York strip or a ribeye as well anymore, unless you grind it up in a blender and drink it through a straw. I mean, that's the idea, okay? I mean, think about this here. The sound of the grinding is low. You can't, someday I won't have to sit at the table and hear my daughter. She's not here, so I can, I mean, she just, that's, I'm not even saying which one, so. You know, someday she's just going to be sitting there and, sound of the grinding is low, okay? Next one, look at the rise up at the voice of a bird. Oh, this one kills me. Wakes up at a minimal noise and is unable to sleep long or soundly. Man, I hear that all the time from people, and it's not me, okay? I'm not there yet. I really dread this one because I talk to people who are, yeah, I woke up at 4 a.m. and I couldn't get back to sleep, and I just laid there the whole time, and I'm just thinking, well, you know, I'm glad that's not me because I like to sleep, but another part of me is kind of jealous because it would be nice to actually wake up early in the morning and, you know, get some things done. I can't do that yet, but I hear it all the time from people who say, I woke up in the morning and I just couldn't get back to sleep. The older you get, can't sleep as well. Rise up at the voice of a bird. I mean, Now, birds aren't generally really, really loud unless they're right outside your window and they're squawking and all that kind of thing. So that's the point here, is it doesn't take much to wake you up and you can't sleep very well. Next phrase, daughters of music shall be brought low. Inability to hear music means we can't enjoy it as we once did. Music's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's great to be able to enjoy it, but there is going to be a time in life where it's, oh, what? I can't, you know, can't hear. I can't hear it, so I can't enjoy it. Look at verse 5. Skip down to verse 5. The almond tree shall flourish. This is something we can relate to here in the Central Valley because of all of the nuts and all that kind of stuff we have, the trees. And what's characteristic of an almond tree that is flourishing? It's beautiful, yes. It just looks like a bunch of white hair, like a bunch of, you know, people's white hair heads all over the place. That's the point. White hair, your hair. The white blossoms of an almond tree picture the white hair of old age. We're coming up on that, although we're getting so much rain that, you know, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, take a little bit longer not to get to that point. But, you know, we get, I think, what, March or April, we get to that point where it's the blossoms all around. It's just beautiful. But it doesn't last that long. It only lasts for a short period of time. But it's beautiful while it's there, the white and the pink flowers. The almond tree shall flourish, the white blossoms of an almond tree, white hair of old age. Look at verse 5 also, look at this phrase, the grasshopper shall be a burden. Now, I think what this is saying is something small but fast becomes a seemingly impossible villain, you know. You simply can't catch it because unlike the grasshopper, you're now slow. You know, when you're a kid, it's like, I got it, you know. I mean, when I was a kid, we lived on a bunch of acreage, kind of in a country area, and oh man, lizards were everywhere, and my favorite thing to do was just to catch lizards. We had blue belly lizards, and alligator lizards were the two main kind of lizards we had. Alligator lizards were kind of easy because they were like slower and longer kind of, but the blue belly things were fast. They were hard to catch, but as a kid, not a problem. I'd totally catch them, you know? I'd walk around, put it on my tie after church and have it kind of like be a tie clip and walk around and see everybody screaming and get that out of the church. Don't, I mean, I've heard that so many times. Get back outside, let it go. Snakes, same thing, you know. We used to have these big flat boards laying out in the side of the church from something and lift it over and king snakes would be under there or gopher snakes or the two kinds of snakes we'd usually have. I'd catch them. And I've never been bit by one ever. And I'd catch them and I'd, you know, you pin it down and you get it and all this kind of stuff. Aaron, now, okay, is okay, Dad, hold still. It's a lizard. We're walking along somewhere. You know, can we get it? Can we get it? There's no way I will ever catch one of those things now. And I'm not even older yet, okay? There's no way. And they are so fast. They're shifty. And it's just absolutely impossible. I think that's what Solomon is saying here when he's saying, you know, the grasshopper shall be a burden. Something small but fast becomes a seemingly impossible villain, especially when it's in your house. You know, get that out of my house. I can't get it, you know. So what we do at home now is we call someone, you know, Aaron or, you know, Evan, come get this. Whatever's in the house, spider, whatever it is. I mean, look at these. These are word pictures of the physical body deteriorating. This is what we have to expect. We cannot avoid this unless Christ calls us home. God calls us home earlier. Christ returns for us anytime. But see, the odds are this is what we're going to have to expect. And those of you who are here who are older, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of shaking your heads. Like, yeah, that's exactly it. That's right. Even with Don not being here, there's still a lot of agreement. All right. So the second thing, though, the third thing we have to understand, number one, is that old age is going to come quickly. And number two, the physical body will deteriorate. But also, this is the part that's really difficult, to letter C, the mind will deteriorate as well. The mind begins to deteriorate. First part of verse 5, afraid, becomes afraid of that which is high. We become, as we get older, more fearful of heights or other aspects of normal life that were once routine. things that we thought, oh, I could do that when I was younger. I had no problem. You know, I had no problem climbing up on a ladder three stories and fixing this roof or whatever. And by the time you get older, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not stable. I'm not as stable. I'm a little more fearful of falling or what's going to happen. I don't have the physical capacity to do that. So we become afraid of that which is high. Notice the next phrase, fears shall be in the way. And anytime the Bible talks about a way or in Proverbs or a way, it's a path in life. I mean, the older person finds going out to be intimidating and frustrating. You know, it's hard for me to say I'm a homebody. So I'm not even that old and I just want to stay home. You know, I don't really want to go anywhere or do anything sometimes, but the older you get, the more it's just too, no, some people had the idea of just being afraid to drive and the traffic and those kinds of things. And that's what Solomon's saying here. I mean, back then, you know, he had to hop on the horse and whatever, and the chariot or what. And he just like, you know what? There's just too much out there. And the longer I've lived here in Israel, traffic's just increased by so much. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go out. Fear shall be in the way. Afraid of that which is high. See, these are intellectual deterioration. And finally, number three, desires shall fail. The normal desires and appetites of life are lost. I just don't feel like I can do it anymore. I just don't feel like I don't want to take the time or effort. I don't have the passion for this. I'm just not interested in that anymore. I mean, and this is what Solomon is saying. The desires of life as you get older begin to fail. I mean, this is all put in juxtaposition of this youth and remembering the Creator in the days of thy youth and enjoying youth while you can, because this is what's coming. This is what's coming. The mind, the physical body will deteriorate. The mind will deteriorate. And finally, last part of verse 5 and verse 6, death is the conclusion. Verse 5, because man goeth to his long home and mourners go about the streets. See that phrase, because man goeth to his long home. See, this is the context here of the poetic language Solomon's using to describe old age. This phrase proves really the poetic context here. Old age and its physical and mental consequences lead to eventual physical death. And that's the end of it. And then we have in verse 6 all of these word pictures that paint a portrait of death. Notice these, silver cord be loosed, the golden bowl be broken, the pitcher be broken at the fountain, the wheel broken at the cistern. Various interpretations exist as to what these mean. Some people say, in the poetic language here, he's using pictures of vital organs, you know, the spinal cord, the brain, the heart, you know, the golden bowl and the silver cord and all, I mean, those kinds of things. Maybe, but I don't know. The idea seems to be that important and valuable aspects of life, you know, silver, gold, a pitcher, a wheel, a pitcher, what you can keep water in, a wheel as it creates, well, these days, electricity. They're no longer usable. A wheel broken at the cistern, a golden bowl is broken, a pitcher is broken at the fountain. They're useless. I think that's the point Solomon's making here. The idea seems to be that important and valuable aspects of life are no longer usable, just as the human body at death is completely useless. What good is a dead body? Well, I know these days we can, you know, use the organs and whatever and donate. Okay, but I'm saying generally speaking, back in Solomon's time, before they had the organ donation system, guideline, whatever, nothing, it's totally, not only is it good, useless, it's disgusting, okay? And that's what he's saying here. The body, human body at death is completely useless, just like all these pictures of death. The golden bowl is broken. The silver cord is broken. The pitcher is broken at the fountain. The wheel broken at the cistern. It's not used for any good. It's no good. It's no value. Death. The human dead body is of no value. The idea is that the dissolution of the immaterial part of the body with the material body, once you've died, your physical body is worthless. Now, those who are in their youth here today, think about this. Yes, this is what you may have to look forward to. I mean, all these things that Solomon's describing here. So because of this fact, see this context here? Solomon saying, make the most of your life for the glory of God while you have the strength and the mental capacity to do so. I mean, listen to somebody who's experiencing the other end of the spectrum. Listen to someone. Listen to God's word and listen to Solomon, who's penning these words through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is really the whole point of Solomon addressing this fact, because he continues to make the point that although the physical body is useless at death, and here's where we come to the next verses, this is not the end of existence. It's not the end of existence. Do not put off until later what you can do now. All of us who are able-bodied, don't put off till later what you can do now. I'll serve the Lord at some other point in doing something he'd have me to do. Down the road. And Solomon's saying, you do it when you can do it. Don't be putting it off. Consider just for a moment here Solomon's attitude toward old age and death. I mean, I mentioned to you how depressing this was, and even kind of studying and preparing this and thinking through these things. Solomon's attitude toward old age and death is extremely negative. Why? And I'm saying it sounds like someone who was experiencing that at that point in his life. As Solomon's writing this, he was looking back, I think, over a life steeped in regret. I mean, really, I believe so. I think he's looking back over a life steeped in regret. He was an old man looking back over his life of futility. He possessed wisdom given to him by God, but he succumbed to the vanity of this life. I mean, he's looking back and saying, oh, when I was young, I was so much more concerned about forging political alliances. And so taking all of these wives and concubines in political, you know, alliances, and that, you know, they turned my heart after other gods, just as God said would happen if I did this. And I think Solomon is old and he's decrepit, and he's wealthy. He's got all the best medicine he could have and doctors around him, I'm sure, but it's not going to stop the fact that his body is decaying, his mind is decaying, and eventually he's going to die. And so he's looking back and saying, I just wish I would have done things differently. So I'm telling people now. I'm telling young people now. I'm telling older people now that are still alive. Don't put off what you know to be the right thing to do. Don't rationalize your behavior or live for the moment. Live for God. Live for the Lord. Put him first all the time. Remember now thy creator. So then finally, in closing, we come to the last thing to walk away with here, and that is we need to understand the reality of all in God's time, and we see that in verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Physical death entails the mortal body returning to its earthly elements. See that there? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, physically speaking, the human body decays and rots. That's what happens. Yet Scripture makes it clear, even in the Old Testament, that our physical body is not the totality of our existence, of who we are. Now, elsewhere in Ecclesiastes, remember, Solomon describes death as the end of everything, or as eternal sleep, or as the end of all consciousness. And people take those verses out of context. We've already looked at those and say, see, there is no afterlife, and you know, this is what the Bible says. It says that, you know, everything's just forgotten when you die, and there is no. Solomon is not saying that in the proper context. He's saying here, this text is proving that Solomon's words were revealing death from man's perspective. For we read right here that our spirit, the very essence of our being, lives on. Although the physical body decays, the spirit of man lives on. Never embrace the belief that all you see is all that exists. This is it. The only thing that's real is what you can see. The only thing that's true or truth is what you can feel or handle or see. The physical body, 1 Corinthians tells us, is only a God-given temple for our soul spirit, for the immaterial part of who we really are. Those of us who are Christians are to not defile that temple, and that's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. Notice the last part of verse 7, to return unto God who gave it. This reveals the sovereignty of God. We're often frustrated by physical death when a loved one dies or when we're knocking on that door. But everything that happens coincides with God's purpose and timing. Everything that happens coincides with his purpose, his timing. those of us in this church age who know Jesus Christ as Savior can be confident that to be absent from the body, Philippians 1 says, is to be present with the Lord. The body's here. The body's just decaying back to the earth, but who we are is with the Lord. What a wonderful truth that is. So, unless Jesus Christ returns for his church, we all will experience old age and eventual death. We don't know when he's going to return. But we do know he can return at any time. But if he does not return soon, we've kind of come full circle here to the beginning, we have to know how to live a life that will bring him glory and benefit our own selves and others and loved ones. So we read Ecclesiastes and we consider the words of Solomon given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we say, Lord, thank you. May we have that proper perspective of life in the here and now and not try to put off what we know to be right when we have the ability to do what we know is right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you've given us in considering this today, Lord. And we thank you for the experience of Solomon and for you allowing him to pen these words for our learning and our admonition and exhortation. I pray we will be admonished and exhorted through consideration of his life and what he has written for us to learn. Thank you for our time together this morning. And we pray for Pastor Gary as he prepares to minister the word to us. May our hearts be open to what you'd have us learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.